Welcome to the Forging Honor podcast. I'm Jonathan George.
And I'm Benjamin Jones. Here at the Forge, we explore what it means to live as Christian men. Along the way, we'll be doing challenges, building habits and character through action.
In today's episode, we talk about ritual, responsibility, and the relation of belief and action. All right, it is challenge check-in time. As a reminder, challenges last for 6 weeks, that is 42 days total. They are simple daily tasks to grow us as men. The current challenge is to engage in some form of a ritual every day that highlights the responsibility that you have or to in some way highlight the responsibilities that you are attempting to take on, what have you. So this we say they are simple daily tasks. This one might be a little less than simple in some ways in that it's harder to define. But I've been enjoying it. Banjo, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. So this is a I feel like we should always the time and place where these episodes happen always adds a little flavor to it. It's like a fine wine. You know, you want to know where your wine comes from and how that affects the grapes and how long it's been aged and you know, thus such things. This particular bottle of Forging Honor has been finely aged overnight. This is a late night record, late for me anyway. It's about 9:30 on my side of the time zone line. It's about 8:30 for JJ. We're coming at the end of a long day, so if anything comes out that sounds a little bit, how should one say, mellow, laid back, after hours, dare we say? That's
would be why. Also, and we may think we're funnier than we are purely because we're both very tired right now.
Yeah. So that's a good check. If we think we sound hilarious, that's the explanation. Anyway. Bear with us. Anyway, I've really been enjoying the ritual habits that we've been forming. I have done 4 out of 5. I missed Monday this last week. But Monday I missed the ritual largely because I was spending time studying rituals and just trying to read up a lot about rituals and listen to some podcasts on it. So I didn't engage in any rituals that particular day. But I did do a lot of study of them. Couple of rituals from me that have been regular. So my writing ritual after work has been to come back after work and around 5 o'clock ish. Do the dishes. After I do the dishes, sit down with my computer, open a can of beer, put on the same Pearl Jam album every day, and write for 15 to 20 minutes. And that's been my little ritual. And mostly as a creative exercise and a way to keep me in the groove writing. And the thing that I've enjoyed most about that is that ritual, one of the things you said last time, JJ, was that the rituals that you've talked about being helpful, you talked about how they help you transition into this is a new stage, this is a new time. And so creating a little ritual for myself that is a transition period into a writing phase helps my brain a little bit turn off some of the inner critic, turn off some of those outside things and switch into, all right, now I'm going to be writing for this time period. So, that's been a good one for me. How has it been going for you?
Before I answer that, are you doing the same ritual every day?
I'm switching it up. So there are different rituals that I am incorporating, throughout the week. But I'm not doing the same ritual every day. I'm doing one ritual, or I'm doing at least one ritual every day. Typically, I'm doing more than one ritual every day. We can talk about that some.
Okay, cool. So you're playing it fast and loose over here. Fun. So to answer your question, if we're qualifying just any ritual, I don't know exactly how I would total my numbers because I've been mostly thinking through what are the rituals that I've more intentionally done. Things like my morning shave, right? Which I missed. I don't think I shaved on Tuesday. So I missed a day. But if we're going just by any of the regular rituals in my life, or in my life, in my day to day, then there would be, there's a lot of qualifiers there all of a sudden. So that there's an interesting conversation to be had there. One, about kind of just the philosophy of forging honor as a whole. And are we just really just talking about any, like, is ritual the same as a habit?
Like, yeah. So, yeah. So interestingly,
my daily Bible reading, like, that was a habit that we formed, 2 challenges ago.
Yeah.
And here we are. Is that really a ritual?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And actually there's been, I've had some conversation with some folks on my side of the microphone, off air about that very question. Is a ritual a habit? Is a habit any different from a ritual? What's the difference between habit and process? Just a lot of good questions to have there. One of the things I think is valuable about doing this challenge, as a little undefinable as it is that I think it helps us to narrow down what it is we're doing at the Forge. Like, why are we doing what we're doing, and what is that in particular? Here's how I'm choosing to interpret this. And I think being fallible podcast hosts, I think we're allowed for some disagreement and maybe some variation in our some Christian liberty is maybe the way to say it. Some Christian liberty.
What a wonderful theological term that we get to throw in here. Very Westminster of you.
It is. Andrew. It is. I do like my Westminster standards. Anyway, so here's how I'm interpreting it. Based on the research that I was doing on rituals, I'm interpreting a ritual to mean an event. Hold on, let me get my words right here. I'm saying I'm going to interpret a habit as something that you do consistently without thinking too hard about it. So it's a preset, sort of a default setting. The reason I say that is that I think at the Forge, our primary objective is to think about our heart condition, to think about our mindset and our presenting our hearts before the Lord. And then out of that, that leads to actions. So I would say, and you can disagree with me on this if you feel led, JJ, but I would say that the heart is the primary thing that we want to focus on at the Forge. We don't want our actions to be the primary thing that we focus on. But because our hearts are the primary thing we're focusing on, the natural outflow of that is the habits that we live, right? So that's the fruits of the Spirit that we're going to display. But if we're only concerned about changing our actions, that's going to fall into legalism and behavioralism, I think. And so the heart, I'm going to say, is the primary factor. Does that jive?
That makes sense. And I think there's definitely the focus on the heart is incredibly important. And yet I think forging honor as a whole kind of falls into a place of we're kind of disconnected from our listeners, right? You know, a listener can pick this up and listen to it anytime, anywhere they yeah. want. And so there's less of that personal relationship and more of it's one of the reasons I like to focus on the practical. So even though we are focused on the heart, we really, really, really do care about that day-to-day action, partially because I think that your day-to-day action helps direct the heart, and it should direct the heart. So I agree with what you're saying. I just kind of put it in the clarifier of forging honor falls on the second half of that a little bit, and I'd almost leave it to pastors more on the first half sometimes because of that personal relationship.
Well, I would say, so here's where I would push back. I think that our goal, JJ, should be to help our audience, is particularly aimed at young men, but whoever's listening, our goal is to help them to understand their own heart and in some ways to shepherd their own heart. And to say, look, you're living by habits, whether you recognize it or not. But what do your habits say about you? What are those things that you're, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, the Bible says. So if we want to interpret the mouth speaks to whatever actions you're doing on a daily basis without thinking too hard about it, what is it that your heart is saying? You know, when you stub your toe, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth, right? That's that overflow. And I think that our primary objective is to say, look, we want hearts turned towards Christ. That's the primary thing. But you and I firmly believe that hearts turned towards Christ are the engines of a body that moves towards Christ. And so that we can't have one without the other, really. One is gonna naturally flow from the other. So anyway, all that to say that I think that's a habit, is that default setting.
Yes, absolutely. I think there's a lot more conversation that could be had there, but we can jump into some of the definitions as well. I went ahead and pulled up Webster on this to define habit and ritual. So definition of a habit from Webster, there's, you know, 9 different definitions like they do. But the first one, number one, is a settled tendency or usual manner of behavior. Number two is an acquired mode of behavior that has become nearly or completely involuntary, or an addiction even. So there's a couple of those. And then of course there's habit as in a costume, as in of a monk, you know, like that's a habit, which is kind of funny. The garb of a monk might be called a habit. And there's some historical terms there.
There's some real good Shakespeare puns that happen out of that. What about ritual?
Ritual, of or relating to rites or rituals. So they define it with the definition. Ceremonial, according to religious law, done in accordance with social custom or normal protocol. So that's the adjective. I should have gone straight to the noun. The noun version is the established form for a ceremony, specifically the order of words prescribed for a religious ceremony, a ritual observance, a ceremonial act or action, an act or series of acts regularly repeated in a set, precise manner. So that's 2C. I think 2C is more what we're speaking to.
The precise manner?
Yes, an act or series of acts regularly repeated in a set, precise manner. And folks, yeah, if you're wanting to fact check me on this, go straight to the Merriam-Webster.com. And we're looking at definition 2C on ritual.
When I listened to 2 podcasts, both from the Art of Manliness podcast, where they had 2 separate anthropologists, psychologists come on to discuss ritual. And those were 2 very good episodes, both worth checking out. And the definition that they used of ritual was very similar to that last definition that you talked about, where a ritual was a purposeful event that was done in a specific order, and that had significant meaning, or had not significant meaning, but meaning of some kind attached to it.
Right. Whereas a habit might not have meaning other than even just some kind of carnal fulfillment, I guess.
Yeah. The other element of that is that one of the guests said specifically of a ritual that it is not directly correlated to any success. So it's not, you're not doing a ritual chiefly because it's going to achieve something. So for example,
what do you mean by achieve something, like practically?
Yeah. So
all rituals, all actions are forming you in some way, I would argue.
So the example would be, take a baseball player who has a ritual that they do in the batting
cage. Oh, I listened to that episode too. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So like, you know, they're going to touch their nose and then their ear, they're going to take one swing of the back, kick their, you know, cleats or something like that. Whatever they're doing doesn't have any direct correlation to whether or not they can hit the ball. But it's a pattern that they fall into, that has meaning for them. And if they were mm-hmm. to do those series of actions, in a way that was out of order, that would ruin the effect, basically. This is different than like actually practicing your swing. Those, you know, where practicing your swing is not fancy. There's no magic element to it. You're just swinging the bat. That's a habit. I think we would say the habit of practicing, or the habit is maybe the way that you swing the bat, but the ritual is the thing that you do before you swing the bat. But the ritual has no correlation to whether or not you can get the the ball into the East River, so to speak. What do you think, JJ? Is that a helpful clarification?
That makes sense. I would just, with the clarification that if you think about it, any ritual you do is going to have some form of spiritual significance and is therefore going to have some form, it's going to have something that it is achieving.
So
just
with that one other thing that I would toss out there that I would also interpret this challenge a little differently than you, JJ, is in I would make the argument that our in whatever ritual that our listeners might choose for themselves, I would argue that is the ritual is a way to practice responsibility. So whatever ritual is chosen, it's an opportunity to slow down and recognize our agency in the world. So to whether that's changing modes from, from sleep to starting the day, whether that's the way that you make your coffee and you are just taking in the full sensory experience of making that coffee, whether that's, I don't know if we have any samurai listening to the podcast and they're doing a tea ceremony, whatever they're doing, I would say that what you're doing in a ritual is forgive me for waxing poetic, but if the ritual is an art form and the expression of responsibility is the medium, is the tools in which you're making that presentation of art, if that makes sense.
I think it's making some sense. Both of these terms are what's the word I'm looking for here, Banjo?
Synonyms.
You talking about them? They are somewhat synonyms, but the way you talk about them is a little
equivocal.
The English major is coming through a little bit there. In the sense that you're clearly very interested in wanting to get into, oh, the ritual is making you slow down and take the moment in. Like, that's a great stuff to talk about, but like, I feel like a habit could do that too a little bit. Like, it starts to, like, there's a blurred line here, which is why I get into, I want these exact precise definitions because I come at it from that angle a little bit.
But we could say in this sense, it's like, for the purposes of our conversation, a ritual is da 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 da.
Sure.
A habit is da da da. Just for the purposes of our conversation. And we can define those terms so that anyone entering into the conversation has clear footing.
Absolutely.
So which rituals have you only had the one ritual this week? Are there others that you are like, well, now that I think about it, maybe that's a ritual too that's been helpful?
I definitely have other rituals in my life. Like, if I'm going to sit down and code for an hour, I have a pattern I go through before I do that. In terms of, I sit down, turn on a certain kind of music, usually like a lo-fi or even just like rain in the background for mm-hmm. me. Or there's a couple of soundtracks I like that are very motivating. Sit down, get those going, kind of clear my desktop of all my any email or anything, and then I'm ready. I'm focused. I can start to zero in on it. Right. So there's those kinds of I think of transition rituals more often than anything.
Getting into that flow state, kind of
right. That or like the shaving is a transition from I'm waking up to I'm ready to go now. And the way you're talking about it is more the entering into an experiencing agency thing. I would not say that I have ever thought about rituals in that way. Like, I don't think about when I'm making coffee, oh, I'm entering in and I'm experiencing the making of the coffee.
But why not? I think it's a good thing to do.
Sure. I'm not going to argue that it's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just not something I consciously think. I'm like, okay, I'm making coffee. Like, I really enjoy.
That's why it's called a challenge, JJ. That's a challenge.
Fair enough. I enjoy the process of making coffee. In that, I do enjoy making coffee in the sense of it's this building of anticipation for me. I think.
Yeah.
More than anything, but again, that's a transition from one moment I don't have coffee to now I do, and my day is infinitely better. Like if I'm going to,
why is it infinitely better?
Because caffeine is a glorious drug, Banjo. has nothing to do with anyway, never mind. Point being, like, any of those rituals, I think the closest I've come to where I'm like entering in, experiencing the moment, or one of our habits was go outside for.
Yeah, it was
the closest I think I've gotten to what you're talking about in terms of ritual, right? I went outside, I was barefoot. I stood there and I just felt the grass.
Yeah. So, I mean, so to me, that I think the value of ritual is that they and you're not going to like this, but they break us out of the mundaneness of the world, and they imbue,
if that's something
meaning
you need to be broken out of, that's fine, Banjo.
A lot of people do. Okay. You know, sure. And I think more and more we live our lives digitally, and our digital lives are just kind of barren, in the sense that they are two dimensional. You know, they're not sensory. They're not. They're visual. They're stimulating, but they're not sensory, right? Since your senses are your hearing, your smell, your taste, your touch, and your sense of feeling, right? On a computer screen, at best, you're getting sight and you're getting sound.
That's more than reading a book. So there you go, Ben.
That's not true. When you're reading, the reading is triggering different elements of your senses, right? We talk about sensory image.
You do that too, right? You could do that too with technology.
Yeah, but it technology is cheating. Right?
So here's the thing. I'm with you in terms of, I think technology has a lot of its faults. I also push back against any form of idealism over non-technology.
I'm not saying no technology. I'm not going anywhere near that. I'm just saying that we forget to be human when we live our lives online, and a ritual. Maybe. Is a way of reminding us what it means to be human.
See here, maybe this is where you and I differ a little bit, is maybe it's the way I was raised, but I see very little of my life as mundane.
Okay.
Like even the use of my technology. Sure. I will intentionally choose a certain software over another. Because I think the tech I choose has consequences. There's nothing mundane about that. There's nothing, and it's going to have spiritual effects. Like I think about that pretty regularly. I'm thinking about that at work. Of okay, if I organize my work life this way versus this other way, what's the downstream consequence? Like there's nothing mundane about that. Is what I'm saying. Even my commute to work, which for some people that's so mundane. Like I have this commute. It's so mundane. I'm like, okay, I get this time. Where I get to listen to a podcast, or I get to listen to an audiobook, or whatever it is, like I don't have to let it be simply mundane. On the other hand, it is important to know and important to recognize that sometimes the mundane things are the things that you need, and very good and right. And the thing, like, part of that just has to do with your definition of mundane. Like I have a meal with my family every day. Is that mundane, or is that incredibly spiritually glorious?
Well, right. I mean, in some ways, what I'm saying with a ritual is that you organize something specifically so that you have time to examine the crevices of something deeply ordinary to find out what's extraordinary about it. JJ didn't like any of my word choices there, which I understand.
Your point is well made, but you're right about the word choice thing.
Yeah, but I mean, you know. A lot of people live boring lives, like, and they feel that those lives are boring. So, you know, one way to address that is through, I think, the power of ritual. Two, I think that our lives, you know, no matter how well-intentioned our lives are, we're always going to fall into parts of our lives that feel repetitive. And repetition, if left unchecked, can feel meaningless, if left unchecked.
That is absolutely true and fair. Absolutely.
And the ritual is a way of saying, look, you're going to have to deal with this throughout your life, right? This ordinary thing is going to come back. The ritual is a process where you say, look, let's examine what this means. Let's attach extra significance to this and examine it. So, you know, for me, you know, with the writing ritual, for me, that's a place where I am dedicating that space in a certain way so that I'm not thinking when I go into a bout of writing, I'm not thinking about myself so much as I'm thinking about what's a God-honoring thing to write today. How do I write something that where I'm serving other people and not serving myself? Or at least that's what I hope. At least that's what I've been thinking about this week as I'm trying to adjust that ritual and trying to hone in on it. You know, even doing the dishes beforehand is a way of saying, look, my family comes first. My service to my family comes before my service to myself in writing. And hopefully that writing is a service to other people. And so that, you know, doing the dishes takes on that level of significance to it as well. Plus, while I do it, it helps me thinking about whatever character it is I'm working on that day. So I don't know. I think it's things like that. Even the way that you, you know, you and I both smoke a pipe. There's something ritualistic, very deeply ritualistic about the experience of smoking a pipe. Because you choose the tobacco that you're going to use. You choose the pipe that you're going to use. And for me, I don't know about you, JJ, but the pipe that I use is affected by the day that I'm having and which, you know, which pipe is speaking to me, so to speak. And then there's a way that you fill the pipe. And there's a process to that. And everyone has their particular way that they were told how to do it. And then there's the poking of it or the lighting it or the, you know, the charring it. However you do it, there's a way and it's slow and it's laborious and you can do it wrong. It's really easy to do wrong, but you have to do it right. And that makes it worthwhile. I mean, there's something enjoyable, deeply enjoyable about that process of enjoying a well-smoked, well-packed pipe. Many a poem has been written on it. That's all I'm saying.
I definitely agree with you, and I really like that sentiment. I think I choose my pipe based on my outfit more than anything else, to be completely honest. And my tobacco based on the time of day. It's that simple. I know, like, literally, within a couple hours, depending on the time of day and how close I am to a certain meal, I know exactly what tobacco I'm going to smoke of the six or seven I have lying around. Anyway, that is a total sidebar and would be a ton of fun to explore after hours at some point.
After hours.
That said, we've got a couple minutes to wrap up here. Would love to know what your ideas are as far as the practical side of this going into this next week and what kind of things you want to continue or add to your rituals.
Okay. Well, I know we only have a few minutes here, so I'm just going to lob this grenade carefully. I don't like thinking about the practical side of this challenge. I don't think it's helpful. Because here's why.
Okay. Banjo, this is,
hold on.
Forging honor.
Yeah.
This is what we do.
Well, here's the thing. I think we're making a mistake in thinking that there has to be a physical, practical aspect to everything. Not everything practical is worthwhile, and not everything worthwhile is practical. Okay. That would be my argument. And I think there is, I get accused, and I understand why, of delving into the big, you know, it's a big idea. That's a big theory question. That's a philosophy question, but let's now shift to the practical. I think the theory is the practical. I think the philosophy is the important part. I think if we're not spending time, reflecting on our reality, we're in dangerous territory. I mean, Socrates famously said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." And I think there's something very practical, dare I say, in just saying, "Look, study your life. Think about it. Don't go do anything. Sit and think, and then think about what your life has, how your life is going to be affected by this." I think that's deeply practical. And I think if we fail to do that, we're not much more than machines. A strictly practical human being is only a machine.
Yes, 100%. I agree with you. However, Forging Honor is about the practical. Therefore, we have to pick the practical. Like, I love to talk about the philosophical. So Banjo, I always say I'm the practical guy, and that's because I have to rein it in a little bit. But at the end, anybody who knows me personally knows that I will talk for hours about the impractical. But at a certain point, like rubber has to meet the road, right?
But that's a false dichotomy. I think philosophy is the road. Because you have to figure out what your philosophy is in life.
Yes.
That's a habit. The way you think is a habit.
Yes.
The way that you live your life is your what you're saying in the Forge. Every time we do a Forging Honor Challenge, we're saying to the world, look, think about your life. And the fundamental habit of the Forge is think. That's the first thing that we are asking all of our listeners to do before they start any challenge is to think. And so I think we need to lay aside the myth that thinking is not practical, that philosophizing is not practical. This is a very practical challenge.
We're using practical in two different definitions, Banjo.
How would you draw the line?
I mean it in a bodily sense.
So do I.
I mean it in the sense of if your thought affects your actions, what are those actions? What is the actual outcome of that thought? Because you can say, I have this philosophy, but do you live by it? You can say, I believe this, but are you actually doing it?
But isn't this faith in works?
A little bit, absolutely.
So we need to think about what patience is and be patient, like both at the same time.
Yes, but the fact is humans are faulty creatures and those things will be separated.
Not completely.
Well, they will be separated in the sense of I say one thing and I do another.
That's sin.
And let's say it's
That's an inescapable fact of nature is what I'm saying.
Well, absolutely.
So in other words, JJ, we have to do both, right? We can't just say we're only going to do the practical because that's as bad as saying, well, if we're only going to think, that's the same mistake. We have to do both at the same time. We have to marry the two. We never said that.
We never said that we only do one. I'm saying is
we just pick
an action out of it. All I'm saying is what is one action you're going to focus on this week? That's all I asked.
Well, my answer is thinking, is the ritual. My action is thinking.
Okay.
And I think that's a good action for our listeners to engage in is just to think about what they're doing.
Well, you can give that answer. We can't debate that more in the time that we have.
What answer would you give? What are you going to add to this?
I'm going to add journaling.
Journaling.
And I'm going to write stuff down.
That's a good action.
And it's taking action on the thoughts that I've had about it already. Like that's the thing. When I say practical, I don't mean that thinking is impractical to do. Thinking is a wonderful thing to do. And you're absolutely right. We have to start somewhere. I don't believe that we start with either thinking or practical. It's a chicken and egg problem. But it's if you can't choose which one to start with, you have to start somewhere. And I'm saying, I'm going to start writing stuff down because sometimes I don't know what to think about. I'm going to start somewhere. And for a lot of people, starting with action is what has to happen to get out the door. Because if we sit and we think for forever, we're never going to do anything. And doing at the end of the day is incredibly important.
I don't disagree. But being the Westminster Standards man that I am, my standpoint is orthodoxy leads to orthopraxy. Right thought leads to right action. And I think the way that we think and what we believe is chief and affects what we do. But I have a strong belief that belief motivates us. And that if we really are believing something, you cannot escape the actions that come from that belief.
And there's the crux of it is I think a lot of people don't actually believe what they say they believe, which is why I want to see the actions.
I hear you. I hear you. That makes sense. I think asking someone to act on something that they don't believe is not always, forgive me, practical.
Because, maybe not.
That becomes behavioralism. I think it becomes a sort of legalism. I'm doing a thing not because I believe it, but because I've been told to do it. And so I think that that belief is going to be the place to start. You talked about you have to have a place to start. I think belief is the place to start with that, because otherwise we confuse what the intention of the thing is.
On the one hand, I agree. On the other, I disagree. I'm not going to get into it right now. We need to have a further conversation about it.
Fair enough.
But now is not the time or the place. We need to wrap this up.
Very good.
Very good. Enjoyed it. And we will see you next week.
This has been the Forging Honor Podcast. Music and production is by Elliot George. For more information about what we do or to learn how to get involved, visit our website at forginghonor.com.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure to like, subscribe, and give us a rating to bring others into the Forging Honor journey. On our website, you'll find information about our Patreon, articles, as well as links to the many resources we mention in the show.
Thanks for taking the time with us today. We hope you'll take up the work alongside us and join us in the task of Forging Honor. We'll see you next time.